to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 category smart. This is Jesse Colhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, The Happiness Project, or Why I Spent a Year Trying to Sing in the Morning, Clean My Closets, Fight Right, Read Aristotle, and Generally Have More Fun, by Gretchen Rubin and summarized by Emily Snyder. As always, we'll begin with a quote. What a wonderful life I've had. I only wish I'd realized it sooner. Colette. In The Happiness Project, Gretchen Rubin shows us how she spent an entire year working on her happiness. She woke up one morning to the big realization that she had an amazing life, but that she may be wasting it. So for the next 12 months, she dedicated her time and energy to doing whatever it took to becoming an all-around happier, more grateful person. In this note, we'll examine the framework Rubin used for her happiness project and how we can design our own to earn the quality of life we're looking for. Let's start with the first big thought, getting started, breaking down happiness. Quote, whenever you read this and wherever you are in the right place to begin. End quote. Gretchen Rubin always just assumed she'd eventually get over wearing running shoes every day, eating the same food religiously, and snapping at her husband as often as she did. But one April morning, she woke up to the massive realization that she was in danger of wasting her life. She started thinking about what she was really looking for. Turns out, she just wanted to be happy. The trouble was, she didn't really know what happy meant to her. Rubin had a gorgeous husband, two wonderful daughters, lovely friends, a great home, plenty to be happy about. And yet she found that she so often suffered bouts of melancholy and listlessness. She found herself getting so caught up in the tiny day-to-day complaints that she failed to feel grateful and joyous for the wonderful life she'd been given. Rubin then made a promise to herself. She would dedicate an entire year to trying to be happier, to set higher standards for herself as a wife, mother, writer, and friend, and to ultimately let go of everyday annoyances to operate from a more conscious and intentional perspective. This book is the story of Rubin's year-long happiness project and the inspiration for why we should start our own. The first thing Rubin had to do to get her happiness project underway was to answer two crucial questions. First, do I believe it's possible to make myself happier? After all, set point theory states that a person's basic level of happiness doesn't fluctuate much. After a little research and deep thinking, she promptly ignored set point theory and decided that yes, it was definitely possible. Her second question was, what is happiness? Philosophers, psychologists, theologians, and even just regular people have speculated about the answer to this question since the dawn of time, and no one has really come up with an answer much better than, you know it when you see it. She decided that this actually was a great answer. Even though different things fulfill different people, we all know when we feel happy. Satisfied with her answers, Rubin went about setting up the blueprint that would guide her over the next 12 months on her journey to find happiness. Interestingly, it didn't look a whole lot different than our life books. She just put it into chart form. She made a chart where she could write down all of her action items for each area of her life that she wanted to improve. She'd put a check mark in the box every day that she felt she accomplished her action item, or an X if she felt like she had failed to do so. She chose 12 subjects in her life. Sound familiar? Such as energy, passion, marriage, friendship, etc., and distilled them all down to what she called her 12 commandments. These included things like be Gretchen, act the way I feel, and let it go. She then assigned each commandment to a month of the year, another amazing similarity. Finally, under each monthly commandment, she came up with certain resolutions or concrete actions that she could work on and would be able to see clearly and evaluate. Rubin dedicates the rest of the book to going through each of her monthly resolutions individually. We don't have room in this note to go through all 12 months, so let's just take a look at some of our favorites so that we can get a good idea of how she structured her happiness project. This will help us on our own journey toward building the kind of life we desire. Big thought number two, boost energy and restore vitality, a virtuous cycle. Quote, in a virtuous cycle, research shows being happy energizes you, and at the same time, having more energy makes it easier for you to engage in activities like socializing and exercise, which boost happiness. End quote. What better place to start than at the beginning? Ruben dedicated January to boosting her energy and restoring her vitality, a good approach as that renewed energy would help her make it through her resolutions in the 11 months to come. Research shows that being happy energizes us, and being energized makes it easier for us to do the things that make us happy. It's a virtuous cycle. To help her restore her energy, Ruben focused on both the physical and the mental. To boost her physical energy, Ruben knew she needed to focus on two things that practically all of us have to focus on: getting enough sleep and enough exercise. Of course, these two things are paramount to our health, but it turns out that they also have a huge impact on our happiness, which, when we think about it, isn't all that surprising. If we pay even the slightest amount of attention to our behaviors, we'll quickly find that we tend to be crabbiest and most frustrated when we haven't been taking care of our bodies. So, first thing on her list, sleeping more. Ruben didn't try anything revolutionary. She stuck to the same tricks that all the books and blogs and articles recommend. She stopped doing work and looking at screens well before bedtime, and she made sure she was sleeping in absolute darkness. She even went so far as to cover all the tiny little LED lights on every device in her room. Ruben also discovered that she often put off going to bed because she found the prospect of her nighttime routine daunting. Taking out her contacts, washing her face, and brushing her teeth felt like a chore she wanted to avoid every night. So she started doing her pre-bed ritual well before she was sleepy, so that when she started to feel her eyes droop, she could march straight upstairs and go to sleep. Next, she worked on exercising better. Ruben was active. She was already in the habit of getting her butt out the door for a run several times a week, but during January, she committed to exercising better, which meant finding a routine that actually made a difference to her body, not just something that made her feel less guilty. She started a strength training program and purchased a pedometer to make sure she was walking every chance she got. She found that making these relatively subtle changes really boosted her energy and increased her performance in both her personal and professional life. Equally as important as physical energy is to our health, so is mental energy. Ruben chose to tackle hers by bringing order to her home and office in the hope that outer peace would bring inner peace. She also decided to try something a little less straightforward. She found that studies showed that if we act more energetic, we actually become more energetic. Action creates momentum and begets more action. Laziness and fatigue beget more laziness and fatigue. Quote, although we presume that we act because of the way we feel, in fact, we often feel because of the way that we act. End quote. So with her new intention for action, the first thing she tackled was getting organized. Being surrounded by clutter is one of the most powerful energy drains, whether we realize it or not. But even when we know this, the idea of clearing out all the clutter in our homes can be such a daunting task. Ruben suggests starting small and just doing a little bit at a time until, before you know it, it's all done. Closets are a great place to start. Once she'd cleared out her closet, she found that she was actually craving more. Making new, clean space in her environment and getting rid of the excess in her closet made her want to do the same to the rest of the house and her office, and so she did. By the end of January, Ruben could definitely feel the difference in her energy levels just by making these few small changes. What small changes can we make in our lives to boost our energy and restore our vitality? Let's keep reading to learn some more. The next big thought is, pursue a passion. Make the time. Quote, do what you do. End quote. The life areas that Ruben focused on in months 2 through 8 align perfectly with our life book categories: love relationships, parenting, social lives, spiritual lives, etc. So let's skip ahead to an area that's a little bit different. In September, Ruben focused on pursuing a passion to help her boost her happiness. Far too often, our passions become an extra, something that we'll do if we can find the time on Saturday afternoon. But in fact, one important key to happiness is prioritizing the things that we're passionate about. Ruben's particular passion is books. She loves to read, write, and make books. So for September, she outlined 4 resolutions to help her dedicate quality time to her passion. First, she resolved to write a novel in 30 days. Lofty goal, huh? While daunting, Ruben really wanted to know if she could do it. So she dedicated time each day to following Chris Batty's model of writing 1,667 words per day, which adds up to over 50,000 words in 30 days. And she did it. At the end of September, she had written a novel. Undertaking such a monumental task may not sound fun, but to her, it actually was. It provided an environment for growth where she could experiment and play around. And at the end of the month, the huge accomplishment gave her an extra strong shot of happiness and energy. Another resolution she made to pursue her passion was to simply make time. Like we said, we tend to think of passions as something we pursue when we find ourselves with free time on our hands. Ruben knew that reading was one of her greatest pleasures, and yet she never really gave it much serious thought. She would even sometimes feel guilty about reading when she knew she needed to clean the house or cook dinner or write a blog post. So in September, she resolved to allow herself to read at whim and not to feel guilty about it. Her third resolution went hand in hand with this one: forget about results. When she read, Ruben found that she would mark up her books incessantly, taking tons of notes for no apparent reason. When she caught herself doing this, she would often try to rein it in, telling herself that those notes had no real purpose, so she shouldn't do it. But in September, she let go of that results-driven approach and let herself take notes with abandon. After all, those notes may become invaluable fuel for a book for her to write later on. Finally, Ruben wanted to master a new technology. Because her passion is books, she focused on working with technologies to make books. She worked on Lulu.com, a self-publishing site that lets you make your own paperback, complete with proper dust jacket. She also played around with Shutterfly and learned how to make her own photo book. She found it very frustrating at times, but in the end, learning to use these new tools gave her great satisfaction, not to mention a new way for her to pursue her passion of books. The next big thought is, pay attention and practice mindfulness. Quote, "Mindfulness brings many benefits. Scientists point out that it calms the mind and elevates brain function. It gives clarity and vividness to present experience. It may help people break unhealthy habits, and it can soothe troubled spirits and lift people's moods." End quote. In preparing for her happiness project, Ruben realized that she spent so much of her time multitasking and dividing her focus among a bunch of different things and very little time practicing mindfulness. So she dedicated October to paying attention. Her first resolution was to meditate on Zen koans, or, quote, "a question or a statement that can't be understood logically," end quote. Well-known koans include, "if you meet the Buddha, kill him," and "two-hand clap and there is a sound, what is the sound of one hand?" Zen Buddhist monks meditate on these questions as a way to abandon reason in their pursuit for enlightenment. Ruben discovered that she unknowingly had been collecting koans for years as she read. She noted many phrases and questions that seemingly had no answer or logic. Meditating on these koans, quote, "promotes mindful thinking because it's not possible to comprehend their meaning with familiar conventional logic," end quote. It helped her to be more mindful overall and gave her the satisfaction that we get when we grapple with a challenging question or idea. Next, she wanted to examine true rules. Instead of going through life on autopilot and operating on popular assumptions, Ruben wanted to keep herself from falling into mechanical thoughts and actions. We all have a certain set of true rules that guide our thoughts and behaviors, even if we aren't aware of them. Ruben made a point to write all of hers down. When she did this, she realized that some were helpful, some were not, and many ran contradictory to each other. This allowed her to examine them carefully and reevaluate where necessary. She says of this exercise, quote, "by questioning my true rules, instead of applying them unthinkingly, I could make sure I applied them only when they'd guide me to decisions that reflected my true priorities," end quote. Her third resolution was to stimulate her mind in new ways, or essentially just try new things. She took a drawing class, tried laughter yoga, and even made it a priority to dance around her room to her favorite music. These things may sound silly, but she found that they heightened her responsiveness to the present and boosted her feelings of mindfulness. And finally, she kept a food diary. How often do we really think about the kind of food we eat, how much we eat, and the frequency with which we eat? Not that often. Reuben realized this about herself, and so resolved to become more mindful of what she ate. Unsurprisingly, before she started writing her food down, she operated under the assumption that she only indulged occasionally. But as it turns out, she was eating way more fake food than she thought. Keeping a food diary helped her kick her bad food habits and made her feel so much better in the process. The next big thought is, keep a contented heart, adjust the attitude. Quote, "No one is happy who doesn't think himself happy. So without a heart to be contented, a person can't be happy." End quote. After Reuben tackled her mindfulness, she turned her attention to her attitude. In November, she resolved to cultivate a lighthearted, loving, and kind spirit. She realized that she had a tendency towards discontentment. She was ambitious, dissatisfied, fretful, and difficult to please. So this month, she focused on keeping a contented heart. First, she wanted to laugh more. Remember when we said our actions often dictate how we feel? She put this into action yet again and decided that she would laugh out loud more often so that she could feel happier. We often forget how powerful and easy laughter is. It not only makes us happier, but it boosts immunity, increases pain tolerance, and lowers blood pressure. She vowed to find humor in every situation, to laugh out loud more, and to appreciate the humor of others. The second way Reuben adjusted her attitude was by practicing better manners. It was as simple as that. She took everything she had learned about being mindful and turned it inward to examine her actions. She found that she was often too belligerent and combative. As soon as someone said something, she found herself scrambling to find ways to dispute it, especially when she had been drinking. To combat her poor manners, Reuben gave up drinking. By not drinking, she was able to maintain her mindfulness about her actions and avoid being rude or inconsiderate, not to mention cutting her empty calories. And along with practicing better manners, Reuben also strove to give positive reviews. We all love to criticize. We don't like to admit it, and we often don't even realize it, but we all struggle with feelings of judgment and superiority from time to time. Reuben found that by exuding enthusiasm and giving positive reviews instead of thinking negative thoughts, she felt much better and had an overall better outlook. By the end of November, Reuben realized that one of the most important lessons of the Happiness Project is that keeping resolutions and doing the things that make us happier leave us feeling happier and acting more virtuously. Quote, "Do good, feel good. Feel good, do good." End quote. And the final big thought of the book is boot camp perfect, bringing it all together. Quote, "After all my research, I found out what I knew all along. I could change my life without changing my life." End quote. Finally, Reuben had reached December. She had worked hard all year to keep her resolutions and work on her happiness. So for the final month of the year, she tried boot camp perfect. This meant following all of her resolutions all at once. For 1 month, she slept more, exercised better, kept her food diary, meditated on koans, read more, laughed more, and everything else she had resolved to do and had already done that year. She wasn't perfect by any means. There would be days when she wouldn't be able to check off all of her resolutions. But the difference was that she noticed when she didn't hit one. She could feel it. These resolutions had become part of who she was. They were directly linked to her happiness. And at the end of her project, Reuben was happy. She had found a system that worked for her. The resolution chart was her key to success. She found that having a visible, tangible way to track her progress kept her more accountable to herself. Today, Reuben is happier than ever and still plugging away at her resolutions. While our own happiness projects will probably look much different than hers, Reuben encourages us all to pursue the things that bring us the greatest enjoyment, contentment, and happiness in our lives. So there we have it, Reuben's powerful best practices for becoming an all-around happier, more grateful person. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.